Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Mike Nice, hosted by Lyrical Forte. You're listening to Mike Nice, hosted by Lyrical Forte.
Relationship is good, or at least you say it is. I mean, you're finna have a baby, maybe get your own place, and since you're not working, he's paying the bills. Then you confess that you're stressed, not eating much nor less. It's been 3 days and you're still eating off the same kids' meal. I mean, but let's be real, you're in love with a thug and you're happy with that. Then you call back to say he's made you mad and you got your bags packed. I mean, but you play it cool, you ain't no fool. That's why you do what you do, because you know he mess with other chicks. Then I call you on the phone and check up on you, and because of him, you put me on a block list. So I have to wait for you to call, only for him to enter the room, and then you rush me off the phone quick. I remember the one and only time seeing you look up and smile, and you remember the one and only time he cared. It's only sad to say that it was when you ran off the road for your car to be towed after being flipped left and right and you losing daddy's baby for him to be there. you and his mother laugh about how crazy that boy is. And things are crazy back at home with your own mom and dad, and so with him you have no choice but to live. His sister's cool, she's having the baby too, and so y'all hang out all the time. Not always by choice, only because it's easier for him to find you. You happily allow him to drive your car to his cousin's house early in the morning to stay all day and play the game, not knowing what you had to do. Then he brought the game home too. See, it was as if he was the PS3 controller when you told him you were through. From his elbow to his wrist was the analog stick for big hits, and his pinky ring middle index finger with the thumb tightly tucked in was the square button for him to dive into your face with his fist. Then he offside kicked you. Black and blue, bloody nose too, you run into the bathroom. He literally beats the door down. You're calling for a timeout, but no whistle is sound. So the first chance you get, you're out of that door to your car door bound. Touchdown. You frantically call me to tell me what happened. You keep your shades on to keep people from asking. You tell me that you're never going back, you're done with that. 2 weeks later, you're back until you get your money stacked. See, Mama never told you about those type of men, because ironically, Mama chased after those same type of men. I'm trying to help you to get through it. I'm trying to help you to get out. To know that every lady deserves a good man, there's no doubt. I just don't know how many more times you can make that great escape. Because next time might be the last time. And it'll be too late.
Right, I'm your host for Mike Nice Lyrical Forte, and I appreciate each and every one of you tuning in for another episode of Mike Nice every Tuesday right here, 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And remember, there's 3 ways to tune in. You can also tune in by Facebook Live, Periscope, just look up Lyrical Forte, as well as you can, actually, I guess you can say there's 4 ways to tune in. You can also listen and chime in on the discussion or open mic by calling in at 646-668-8072, as well as blogtalkradio.com/MikeNice, where you can get on the discussion as well. Let's start off with our Black Facts for today. We're going to get right into it. And you can actually also start calling in right now. Again, that number is 646-668-8072. And if you are just tuning in, I've been asking the question today, what do you think about the situation that happened this past weekend, this past Sunday night or morning, early morning in Las Vegas, where a gunman, the latest poll that they have said is 59 have been confirmed dead, and so many hundreds, I think 400 and something people have been injured when a gunman decided to take aim at a crowd in Las Vegas. And I also wanted to get your thoughts as well on gun control. What do you think about gun control? Whatever the case may be, I would like to hear your side of what you think about it. But today, being October the 3rd, Black Facts for today. In 1995, ex-football star O.J. Simpson is cleared today of murdering his ex-wife, Nicole. And ironically, he just got out this past Sunday as well. As well as today on this date, Nat King Cole was the first black performer in 1956 to host his own TV show. As well as in 1949, the first black radio station, WERD begins operating in Atlanta, Georgia in 1949. Also on this day, Chubby Checker was born, the singer Chubby Checker, born Ernest Evans in Philadelphia. Checker was known for The Twist, a song that soon became a hit song, and as well as a style of dance. On this date as well, in 1904, on Daytona Beach, Florida, Bethune-Cookman College opens again in 1904. And those are your Black Facts for today. Again, make sure you get in. Make sure you chime in. I want to talk about some things as well relating to the Las Vegas massacre. And, you know, if I know most people have been paying attention, whether they've been watching the news or whether they have been on Facebook, whatever, however you get your news, it's been talked about as being one of the deadliest massacres or deadliest shootings in United States history. And I've been hearing, actually today, I've been hearing them say instead of the deadliest shooting in U.S. history, I've also been hearing them say the deadliest shooting in modern U.S. history. And we're going to talk about that as well as your thoughts about gun control. What do you feel about it? Do you think we should have more gun control? Do you think we shouldn't have gun control? Whatever you feel, please let us know. Get in the discussion. Chime in right now. You can call in at 646-668-8072. And that piece I played, that opening piece, was done by yours truly, the PS3 controller. Is a piece that talks about domestic violence, and being that this is October, a lot of times Domestic Violence Awareness Month is overshadowed by Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And don't get me wrong, both of those are very, very important topics to talk about and to discuss, but I definitely want to shed light on things that are not so much discussed as they should be. And so we'll be talking about Domestic Violence Awareness this month as well, also. But again, if you would like to get in on the discussion, if you would like to come through and share a piece today, please do so. Share a song, please do so. Again, that number is 646-668-8072, and I'll be back right after.
I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream.
I want to leave a footprint on the sands of time. Know there was something that and something that I left behind. When I leave this world, I'll leave no regret. Leave something to remember so they won't forget I was here. I lived, I loved, I was here. I did, I've done everything that
If a human being dreams a great dream, dares to love somebody, if a human being dares to be Martin King or Mahatma Gandhi or Mother Teresa or Malcolm X, if a human being dares to be bigger than the condition into which she or he was born, it means so can you. And so you can try to stretch yourself. So you can internalize, a homo sum humani nihila me alienum puto. I am a human being. Nothing human can be alien to me. That's one thing I'm learning.
The things our parents said to us growing up, they probably think we forgot. But as kids, we soak in those words you said when you were cross. You see, I forgive, I don't forget. I live, I don't regret. And they might call me soft for writing this, you see, but I just got one question and maybe then I'll be free. Daddy, are you proud of me? Juice in my cup, holding back tears in my eyes. I heard your mom arguing again non-stop through the night. I know it was about money, we've never really had a dime. And I'm too young to work, so I'm considering crime. I figured if I can provide for me, then you won't have to. I used to take your money when it was laying on the dresser. Maybe this is my fault too. I don't know. Maybe I can buy myself my own school uniform, even give back to you. And if I'm honest, I don't want to live that life, but I don't know. Maybe if you and mum have money, then you'll stick around this time. Maybe you'll be here on my birthday. Maybe mum won't cry. So I'm looking in the mirror like this ain't drug money. This is dad couldn't do it. I still have to feed my mum money. So I feed me now so you and mum can breathe. Daddy, are you proud of me? See, sending money and spending time are not the same thing. Because mum played dad while you were looking after other women's kids. And you could skip the once a year calls on my birthday. I'd rather know if you meant to have me in the first place. See, mum's always out working to provide. And sometimes she goes over the top with how she disciplines, but then I sit and think she has to play the man and woman without the help of a guy. See, sometimes I wish you were here. But it's better that you're not, if I'm real with it. Because you claim you love me. But I saw you constantly make my mum upset. Then one day disappear and you left me to deal with it. And you want to know why I'm an idiot? Because I'm with someone now. And they're just like you. Shouting abuse and with that same tongue ask me what's wrong an hour later. Just like you. Doesn't understand that respect and fear are not the same thing. Just like you. And when my friends are telling me that I need to up and leave, and I bring it to convo, I start to sit and think. I don't think letting go is being free. Because this must be love. I mean, I learned it from you.
Check one.
And as stupid as it sounds, I still want you to be proud you had me. So I got one question and maybe then I'll be free. Daddy, are you proud of me?
Mic check.
I never knew you growing up. Mum never really mentioned you. And it's not that I hate you, but if I had to choose the father of the year between you and Mum, then I'd choose everyone but you. You told me be everything I can be when I finally met you. I used to sit and think I want to be a father, but not like you. Grow up to be a man, but not like you. You know how many men would have killed to have a wife like yours, but not a dad like you? So now I'm the man of the house. And if anyone says I resemble my father in the slightest, I tell them that I'm everything that's not you. I'm nothing like you. So I don't have one more question. I'm already free. I couldn't give a damn if you're proud of me. Whiskey in my cup, holding back tears in my eyes. I watch you and learn how to keep all the emotions inside. You know, smile around guests but have no emotions when you're with your family. Some call it pride. People that meet me usually ask how I keep happy all the time. I'm the one that makes all my friends smile. I'm the one they come to for advice. I never tell you what's wrong. I just respond with, I'm cool. Not because you're a bad guy, Dad. I just don't want to disappoint you. Because when you say you can tell me anything, I know in my head I can't. Because I've seen how you respond to smaller things and I don't want to take the chance. See, I've got 100 questions that I wish I could ask. But I just keep myself to myself as the memories pass. Headphones in, shut out from the world. I wish I could have hired you when I was a kid. So I could have spent more time with you and did the things that fathers and sons did. I always looked up to you, but you were always out of reach. I saw you as a hero, but you know, some heroes are unseen. You taught me to be hard, and you taught me to believe. I'm the man now, Dad, people listen when I speak. But that's not enough though, is it? Because I see you every day and I still don't know you. See, I studied hard and eventually worked. Even helped out a little bit in your church. Respect and fear are not the same thing. Well, at least I learnt that for free. So I just got one more question. Daddy, are you proud of me? Whiskey in my cup, holding back tears in my eyes. Everyone's complaining about their dad, I just wish mine was alive. Never had a lot of memories, but I cherish what I remember. Your sister always tells me stories about you. I know that she won't forget you. See, all these relatives say I look just like you. And sometimes I need guidance, so I ask myself what you would do. And if I'm honest, I didn't get to know you how I should have known you, and that's what's really getting to me. But I've done a lot since dad. Mum says you'd be proud. But we're still in the same flat. One day we'll be out. And I'm not little no more. If only you could see. Sitting by a grave, no one else but you and me. And I want to ask you one question, and maybe then I'll be free. Daddy, are you proud of me?
Yeah, that's right. I'm your host for Mike Nice Lyrical Forte. And again, I appreciate y'all coming through for another great Tuesday. And we're talking about Las Vegas, what happened this past weekend in Las Vegas, as well as gun control. And I want to get your take on it as well. Let me know what you think. What are your thoughts on it as well at 646-668-8072. Again, at 646-668-8072. And if you don't, if you're not comfortable with calling in, you can also leave your comments in on the chat on blogtalkradio.com, as well as Mike Nice is streaming live on Periscope as well as Facebook. So feel free to leave your comments there as well. But I want to read this, and this is pretty thought was pretty interesting, and I'm going to share this again. And I believe that the Washington Post did a really great article. It's a kind of a, like a cool layout of those that have died, and they have a an article about the last 50 years of U.S. mass shootings, the victim sites, killers, and the weapons. And I'm going to read it as such. And again, make sure you check this out. I'm going to share it on my social media. And you can also definitely find it as well on my Facebook and, again, Blog Talk Radio, as well as you can go to the Washington Post. And I'm sure that you can find it there as well. But I'm going to read it. And it goes, let's see. Let me pull it up here. An article, again, it talks about the last 50 years of mass shootings in the United States. And it reads such as this: Las Vegas Country Music Festival shooting is a developing story, and it may be updated. The death, of course, is going to be updated. The death toll changed. The places changed. 9 in a church, 26 in an elementary school, 49 in a nightclub, and at least 59 in a music festival. The faces and the memorial photos change every time, but the weapons are the common denominator. And I'm just getting a CNN thing that says police say that the Las Vegas gunman put up two cameras inside his room in the hallway. A photo appears to show his body laying on the floor with the weapons. But I'm going to continue reading this article. And mass shootings in the United States are most often carried out with guns, usually handguns, most of them obtained illegally. There is no universally accepted definition of a mass shooting, and different organizations use different criteria. In this piece, they look at the deadliest mass shootings beginning August 1st, 1966. When ex-Marine sniper Charles Whitman killed his wife and mother, then climbed a 27-story tower at the University of Texas and killed 14 more people before police shot him to death. The numbers were referred to The numbers here refer to 131 events which four or more people were killed by a lone shooter or two shooters in three cases. An average of eight people die during each event, often including the shooters. This data is compiled by Mother Jones, Grant Dewey, authors of Mass Murder in the United States, a History, and the Washington Post research does not include gang killings, shootings that began as other crimes such as robberies and killings that involve only the shooter's family. There's been 949 victims in the past past 50 years. Each gun was used to kill an average of four people, not counting the shooters. 949 people came from nearly every imaginable race, religion, and 149 were children or teenagers. And again, this page, they have like a interactive layout of being able to, they have like different people, and you can find out the different names of the victims and where it happened at, that sort of deal. The oldest victim has been Louise DeClerc, 98 years old, and still took her PUQ and boombox to the rec room at Pine Lake Health and Rehab, and shot pool with the young guys, as she or as they refer to it as. Her daughter told the Associated Press, her daughter said she was shot to death March 29, 2009, along with seven other residents and a nurse by a man who had come from Carnage, North Carolina, nursing home looking for his estranged wife. And the youngest victims in the past 50 years was an 8-month-old Carlos Reyes, was buried in a casket with his mother, Jackie, who tried to shield him as an unemployed father of two, killed 21 and injured 19 in a busy McDonald's in California on July the 18th, 1984. The man told his wife he was going out hunting humans and opened fire with an Uzi, a shotgun, and a semi-automatic pistol. Also, there has been 271 guns. Shooters brought an average of four weapons to each shooting. In Las Vegas, the music festival shooter had at least 10, but we know that that has been updated to, I think, 42 guns in all total, including those that were found there, as well as those that were found at his home as well. And these guns, it's been updated to know that these guns were acquired legally. He legally acquired these guns. So, you know, some people talk about, you know, there's nothing that we could have done because there's no law that would have kept him from buying these guns because he didn't have a record and that sort of deal. So people, you know, have that argument. It also talks about how that 164 guns were obtained legally during the last 50 years of the shootings. 164 guns were obtained legally, and 39 were obtained illegally. And then it goes over and it shows the different guns that people have used as well during this this whole situation. And a lot of them that I see, just kind of going over it, a lot of them have been assault rifles. A lot of them that I'm hovering over right now, and I'm going to share this so you all can see this for yourself and see the layout of it, but many have been assault rifles. And see some shotguns as well as some pistols and that sort of deal. And I'll be honest with you, man, I'm not really I'm not a gun owner personally, but I do feel like people should be able to, you know, protect themselves, but I also think that there has to be, my opinion is that we have to come to some kind of middle ground when it comes to gun control. You know, a lot of people have said, you know, it happens so many, many times. When is it going to be a point where we actually sit down and we get together on this issue? Because a lot of people thought that maybe it happened when the situation happened at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Connecticut. And we didn't do anything there. And, you know, last year with the Pulse, nothing was done there. And what is it going to take for us to really sit down? Because there has to be some kind of gun control. And no, we're not going to stop everybody. No, they're not going to stop everybody. But we have to do something. We can't make it so easy for people to obtain these assault rifles that are meant to kill people. They're not meant to do anything else but to kill people. You're not going to hunt with these guns. Or you're not going to have any, whatever you hunt with these assault rifles, you're not going to have anything left. You're going to mess up your meat. So I don't really know the real true argument about really us having assault rifles, but we definitely need to come to some kind of agreement when it comes to gun control. It has to be an issue that we talk about now. It has happened too many times. Also, in the past 50 years, there have been 134 shooters. All but three of the mass shooters were males. The vast majority were aged 20 to 49 years old. More than half, 75 of them, died at or near the scene of the shooting, often by killing themselves. Talks about, it mentions an anomaly, which is the Tashfin Malik, the 27-year-old Pakistan mother who helped kill 14 partygoers at her husband's workplace. This is the woman that they're talking about as the anomaly, as far as it being vast majority of males, a great majority. All, again, but I believe they said three were males, and this was the anomaly, was the 27-year-old mother who helped kill 14 partygoers at her husband's workplace in San Bernardino, and she was an anomaly among mass shooters in two ways. She was part of the pair rather than a lone shooter, as well as she was a woman. The other two women in the data set were Jennifer San Marco, who was in 2006 killed, who in 2006 killed a former neighbor, and six employees in California at a mail processing facility where she once worked at, and Sherry Rhodes, who killed her brother and three others at a tribal council meeting in 2014. And two middle schoolers, Andrew Golden, 11, and Mitchell Johnson, 13, pulled a fire alarm to flush students and teachers out of their Jonesboro, Arkansas middle school on March the 27th, 1998, and began shooting, killing four girls and a teacher and wounding 10 others. Between them, there were nine guns, including two semi-automatic assault rifles, assault pistols, and both were released from prison when they turned 21. Definitely got to check that out. I need to tune in to that. Stay tuned to that. I don't remember that. I know I was just, what, maybe 7 years old when that happened, but it's crazy to think how things have happened. Two middle school kids, 11 and 13, are on this list. Hey, Pastor Smith, I appreciate you tuning in, and definitely prayers to for Las Vegas. And we're talking about Las Vegas right now, as well as we're talking about shootings that have happened, the mass shootings that have happened in the past 50 years in the United States. And 40 states in the district, 27% of the mass shootings occurred in the workplace. One in eight took place at schools. Others took place in religious, military, and restaurant locations and other locations as well. While some locations were simply have simply become shorthand for the tragedies that occurred here, and others have added tragic phrases to the national vocabulary. And again, there's a map, man. I'm telling you, when I share these, the way that they have went about doing this interactive layout, yeah, it's really pretty cool. The closest one that happened to me was in Huntsville, Alabama, in 2003, where four were dead and one injured at a employment agency on February the 25th, 2003. And another one in Atlanta, Georgia, 13 dead, 13 injured at a two-day training firm in 1999 on July the 29th. So this thing is pretty cool. And I'm going to share this. Again, post office schools, a small percentage. Man, this thing is just, it's really phenomenal. But we're going to come back to it. I don't want to overwhelm you too much with too much information at once. I want to breathe again. Make sure you call in if you would like to call in. If you have something to say about gun control, Las Vegas, whatever the case may be, please call in. That call in number is 646-662 and
I'm thankful. Young and full of rage, like two UFC fighters inside the octagon cage. The closest thing to me was Slade. I'm very thankful. At one point in my life, very painful. Young and unaware what the game would do. Destroy the joy of a growing boy. A brother's violent, immature death does alter your thinking. Can lead to a lot of bad things, like suicidal thinking, how you drinking, or a whole lot of bad thinking. Thinking which bring negativity into existence. Thanking God for his gift of repentance. Thanking God for his glory. My scars on my flesh, but I'm able to share my story. Thank you for your glory. So I have to share my story of a young boy who became a powerful soldier when he got older in the ghetto. Dyed cotton and linen can determine your ending in a terrorist city and economy. So doing famine is kill for a hobby. Many sacrifices used in murderous devices. I'd like to thank the Lord for his opportunity for letting me be a positive force in my community. Since seeing a lot of destructive things and had a lot of bad dreams, waking up in a cold sweat like a Vietnam vet. So thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your lessons. Thank you for your knowledge and capabilities to be a leader in my family and my community. Thank you for renewing me. Thanking the man up above for showing me love. Seen a lot of bad things being raised around thugs. Always hostile reactions. So I gotta stay fast. So these bad thoughts rose from my brother's casket. My son could have became a bastard. Due to my bad decisions, due to my sinful livings. Pow, pow. Due to my impoverished conditions. From which I've risen. All we know is to bust them guns. I have to thank you, Jesus, for shining my light on me. For giving me the power, for giving me the power to teach. Every day we speak peace. Nonviolence and community outreach. Our discussion learned a lot from Compton. Where them guns always busting. Disrespectful nature. Where many black men stay cussing and fighting over nothing. Blood and cousin. I have to thank you, Jesus, for saving my life. Because many times I could have been left in pieces. Young and gone due to my colors and my Dickies and my Levi's and what he had their creases. So I'm saying thank you, Jesus. Man. I have to thank you for giving me a son and my blessing the day of my life and grieving. Thank you for every reason. Every breath I'm able to make is blessings for me to learn and mind other people's mistakes. I'm thankful for my life and every thousand reasons. So I'm asking you, Jesus. Thinking of all the times that I've been gunned down and down to pieces. But be thanking you, Jesus. I value my life. I'm a married man with two kids and a wife. Rest to be free and living all right. I'd like to thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. For letting me be a positive force in my community. Done seen a lot of destructive things. I had a lot of bad dreams. Waking up in a cold sweat like a Vietnam vet. So he's asking you for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for your lessons. Thank you, Lord, for your knowledge and capability to be a leader. in my family, in my community. Thank you for renewing me. Yeah. Rest in peace, bro. Rest in peace, man. DT Tone. Rest in peace, man. Rest in peace, Leonte. You know what I'm saying? Lenny. Rest in peace. So we repping, man. Right here, putting it down. All my homies, all my soldiers that died a lot of duty. We still here, man. Speaking the righteous words. Bringing the righteous words from the curb. Reaching out, man. Increase the peace. Hub City's in the building. As always, DP on these beats, man. I'm just a poet, though. This is what I do every day. This is what I do. This is me. This is Jinx. Spoken word.
That you never tap in, I mean tap out. You could have backed out, but instead you chose to take the wounds in your ribs. I think about that when I just want to quit. Then I hear your voice say, I got you again. I'm not worthy of such a good friend or a savior that'll help me win. I was dirty like a pig in a pen, but you washed me with the blood that cleansed my whole heart like a brand new dish. They picked me up and gave me brand new wind. When I'm weak, you all my strength. When I'm low, you put me high on 10. I'm in the clouds, I don't need no rims. Your love is truth, that's no question. I can't see me going back in the world, chasing empty promises, bottles, and girls. Don't understand, but I do now how I can sell it all for that one pearl.
I'm leaning, I'm leaning, I'm leaning, I'm leaning, I'm leaning on your everlasting arms. I'm leaning, I'm leaning, I'm leaning, I'm leaning, I'm leaning on your everlasting arms. I'm leaning, I'm leaning, I'm leaning, I'm leaning, I'm leaning on your everlasting arms. I'm leaning, I'm leaning, I'm leaning, I'm leaning, I'm leaning on your everlasting arms. Yeah.
I ain't leaning on no drink, I ain't leaning on no scissors. All I gotta do is put my trust in you and be your wizard. Pray, fast, and seek your face daily.
find me at the potter's house. That's where he molds and makes me to the man that I need to be. No if and buts and maybes. They might call me crazy, but I know you're the one who saved me from the man that I used to be. I used to act so crazy. Now I'm steady leaning on your everlasting arm.
I'm leaning
on your everlasting arms. I'm leaning on your everlasting arms. I'm leaning on your everlasting arms. I'm leaning on your everlasting arms, yeah.
Welcome back to Mike Nice. Again, I am your host, Lyrical Forte, and feel free to call in, chime in on the discussion, make the mic nice, whatever you would like to do. Again, that is 646-668-8072. We've been talking about the last 50 years of, in the U.S. About mass shootings that have been happening, and I just shared that link that I've been talking about. Again, shout out to Washington Post, who did a great, great job on this. And there's so much information on there, and I won't bombard it with you. I'll give you the opportunity to look at it and go over, read it yourself. Again, make sure you check it out. It's on my page. Follow me, LaQuentin Lyrical Forte, Raglan, and also follow me on my like page, Lyrical Forte, and that's one word, Lyrical Forte. I also want to talk about this as well, and before I read this, I want to just say that this next article that I'm about to read is in no way, no shape or form to minimize what has happened in Las Vegas. It is not to minimize at all what has happened in Las Vegas, but it's to kind of maximize why people are so upset when it comes to the things that have been going on in this country. Anyway, I'm just going to go right to it. I'm going to just go over it and talk about it. But this is an article, and I'll make sure I'll share this as well. But it's an article by the Huffington Post at HuffingtonPost.com. You can check this out. And they have an article that was posted, and it talks about, it says, calling Las Vegas massacre deadliest shooting in the U.S. history erases our being the America, because Black history is America history, our violent past. Again, calling Las Vegas massacre deadliest shooting in U.S. history erases our violent past. And let us not negate the events of Black history. Again, a gunman in Las Vegas opened fire and killed at least 59 people this past Sunday. That has since been described by so many in the media as the deadliest mass shooting in the United States. And again, I've also heard people lately say it is the deadliest shooting in modern history, which it still kind of, I think, kind of negates what has happened in our country's past. And I'm going to continue to read this article. It says, yet to describe it in such terms is to whitewash history, as it negates more deadly mass shootings and race riots throughout American history that impact people of color. The shooting, as horrific as it is, again, let me read that again. The shooting, as horrific as it is, also serves a useful reminder to those in the media to be watchful of the language they use to report and share a story. Many learned this lesson last year during the horrific massacre of Pulse Nightclub in Florida, in Orlando, Florida, where another lone gunman, Omar Mattin, opened fire, killing 49 people, mostly LGBT Latinos, and wounding nearly 60 others. At the time, the Pulse massacre was also described by some in the media as the deadliest shooting in American history. And it's so crazy that we have gotten to the point where now they just become to a point where it's like they're replacing each other. You know, it's crazy. But some platforms simply called out this inaccuracy, while others used it to provide a broader discussion of America's long history of mass gun violence. Among the latter were organizations like the National Association of Black Journalists and the National Association of Hispanic Journalists, who jointly issued a statement last year to urge journalists to report the story accurately and refrain from using superlatives together as comparing Sunday's tragedy to other incidents in history doesn't know justice, their statements read. If the decision is made to add a superlative, the Pulse nightclub shooting would count as the deadliest shooting in recent or modern history, it continues. So I think that's why people have been going on to mention or say the deadliest shooting in modern history instead of in just in American history. But to continue, the statement cited at least two separate occasions in American history where mass shootings resulted in higher death tolls than that of the Pulse massacre. For one, the East St. Louis massacre in 1917 led to the killings of more than 100 Black Americans who were beaten, shot, and lynched. It is estimated that another 60 to 100 Black Americans were killed in a similar act of mass racial violence in Colfax, Louisiana in 1873. Again, make sure you check this out. Don't take my just take my word for it. But again, check out the East St. Louis Massacre of 1917 and the racial violence that occurred in Colfax, Louisiana in 1873. Between 1864 and 1890, three other mass shootings, the Sand Creek, Clear Lake, and Wounded Knee massacres, cost the lives of hundreds of Native Americans and pioneer settlers by U.S. Army men across the Midwest. The Tulsa Race Riots occurred when a mob of white riders ransacked the segregated area known as Black Wall Street in a shooting and looting rampage that killed close to 300 people. It's important journalists do more than recognize this as a mass shooting, but also the overwhelming impact on the Latino community, not just in Orlando, but the country, said the National Association of Hispanic Journalists, President Medina in June 2016, what she said. Journalists must also put the shooting into proper context with history. The National Association of Black Journalists yet again served them a reminder this past Monday. The National Association for Black Journalists, also known as NABG, spoke out last year and advised people on language associated with the shooting in modern history. And again, I'm going to share this article so y'all can go to their page as well and their Twitter where it sends out a link. But the Las Vegas shooting is horrific and tragic. Again, the Las Vegas shooting is horrific and tragic. And as we mourn the lives of those who died, we must ensure that all information and facts reported about the case are accurate. Definition and language is critical. especially in developing news stories, and they can play a critical role in shaping the overall narrative story. We can pay respect to the lives lost to mass gun violence and still get today's story straight. So make sure y'all check that out. It's so important that we pay attention to what's going on and we don't lose sight on things that have happened in our past. And I think that's one of the issues is, you know, and why people are so upset even when it comes to, you know, us protesting and kneeling and people not understanding. It's because people still like to whitewash things that have happened to us in this country, and it just doesn't do just to those that have come before us that have fought for so much. Like some of these things I didn't even know about. Like, I've heard of White Wall Street, but I didn't even know about the East St. Louis Massacre or Colfax, Louisiana. So it's so important. I think that's why it's so important for me as well to always have black facts for things that people may not be aware of or know of. And it's one of those things that people kind of want to, you know, not say much about it or keep it on the hush-hush, but it's so important that we talk about these issues, that we talk about things that have happened in our history and be accurate. Especially when we talk about fake news and that sort of thing, it's so important that we address these issues and we be open and honest about it. But we're going to keep things going. I asked my caller on the line with the last 4 digits of 5446. You're there.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing pretty good. How about you?
Good, man. I'm sorry. I thought it was like an open mic show because I see it in the poetry. So I was on the line listening, and I didn't feel like just hanging up. So I'm sorry
definitely. No, we try to really switch it up here on the show. We cover a plethora of issues. Definitely have an open mic where people can, no matter what we're talking about, can kind of lighten the mood or talk about serious situations. And we try to, you know, talk about different things that are going on that people need to be aware of. So definitely, if you have a piece or whatever you would like to do to make the mic nice, please do so.
Yeah, it's cool. I definitely know I was sitting here listening, though. You know, I just had tuned in recently, so I could definitely, cool. You know, add in as well to go with the flow. And the topic is speaking of the Las Vegas shooting.
Right. And
just so I have it all.
As a whole.
All right. Well, you know, of course, it's a tragedy of what happened. As in, you know, any shooting is a tragedy. You know, it's a loss.
Right.
Any place where there's a loss of life is a tragedy. I think it's important, though. You know what? I'll tell you what I don't like about how the media portrays it or how things end up getting handled in the long run. Is that for me, the issue shouldn't be turned into a political one about gun control, because I mean, when terrorists attack, it doesn't turn into an issue about gun control. It turns into an issue about protecting us from terrorist attacks. And I believe this in itself was a domestic terrorist attack.
Right.
Someone had his own agenda, mentally ill or not, but there was no, it wasn't that, you know, someone was bothering him, or it wasn't just, you know, he was trying to get back. It was a terrorist attack, you know? So I just don't like when things are domestically done. And to me, when it seems to be like a white shooter, it turns into an issue of gun control. They don't even do it, like, if it's a black person doing it, it doesn't turn into an issue of gun control. It just turns into a whole black, whole spin-off of how black people are these thugs and whatnot. You know, they go into a whole background of that. For me, it just seems like everyone's so puzzled.
But do you think that's also kind of publicized, too? Because I guess my thing is, you know, when it comes to someone that doesn't look like us or doesn't look like they're from America, that look foreign, we do all this stuff to set up laws such as, you know, different border patrol or, you know, restrictions on people who can come in the country. And, you know, like you said, if somebody is African American, you know, they're calling it thugs and this sort of thing. But what I find out to be a lot of the case is when it's maybe like a white individual, they just kind of gloss over it and talk about the mental issue of it.
Yeah, yeah, because they don't want to say terrorism, because that's what it is. It's domestic terrorism, and I mean, if you look at it, there's more, and things of domestic terrorism are such as, like, you could look at like a KKK or, you know, extremists are domestic terrorism. There's more of those than there are ISIS members or anyone supporting Al-Qaeda.
Yeah.
But we have more people investigating so-called terrorisms that are, you know, Muslim or of that type, Middle Eastern descent, than we do have people investigating, you know, white males or even black males or, you know, any type of American that could be homegrown terrorist that doesn't represent Al-Qaeda. We don't have enough investigating that, or we don't want to call it that when it happens. So it boils down to how can we explain the situation? And everyone acts like, oh, my God, I can't believe this person did that. He was so nice. Oh, maybe he has some mental problems, you know. And everyone says the best things about him, you know? And so I don't like how it turns into that. I mean, especially now, we've been being hit so back-to-back. So you had the storms, and so Trump's response to me was completely like, oh, man, it made me mad, because you had the hurricane situation in Puerto Rico, in which he kind of blamed Puerto Ricans for the hurricane. And then you had the situation here at home where he really didn't have, you know, he said, oh, it's pure evil and all that stuff, and then, you know, went to the thanks to the cops. But it threw me off the way he does things and says things. I can't fathom. So he just has so much going on.
Did you hear what he
said today? Oh, it was disgusting what he said today. He almost said about Puerto Rico, when he said about, oh, you should be proud. Like, he basically said it wasn't a real natural disaster because not many people died, so you should be happy. I was what the fuck?
And then my thing, too, is, like, when he mentioned today, when he was like, you know, Puerto Rico, y'all pretty much screwed our budget up, but it's okay.
Yeah, like, I'm like, is that a president? Yeah. That's a president. And another thing I know this is off topic, but, like, I mean, this, the way they were dressed, I was like, ew. I was like, you guys look so fucking casual. Like, you just at your buddy's house. Like, he just popped up, like, oh, what's up, what's going on, type of shit. Doesn't even look presidential. She and the wife had the hat on. I'm like, I'm like, what the hell? That's how I was dressed to work today. Like,
right. And then that speech that he gave was so scripted. Like,
It was very weird. It was very weird, and I think there's just so much going on. It's hard to keep up, but for me, I think we should. Las Vegas was a tragedy, of course.
Yeah.
I think it does bring up a gun issue. That's what they try to do with everything like this, when it's of this nature. But if we look at it, you know, most of the mass shootings that's happened recently with semi-automatic weapons and someone having a whole arsenal, you know, not saying it has to do with race, but mostly it's been of, like, white males.
Yeah, right.
Because when you think about people able to purchase guns, I don't know, you know, there's not many, I hate to probably, you know, push the stereotype, there's not many black people that I know, even if they weren't legally able to have a gun, that do have guns.
Right. Yeah.
Or go into a whole thing of, like, they have a whole arsenal.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Some things just look very, very ridiculous. The fact that he had so many weapons, it does bring up a point of, you know, people with mental illness, should they have weapons or not? I think that's a clear, should be a clear answer. in that.
Right.
Like, no, obviously not. You should not have a weapon if you have mental illness, you know? But it's sad and it's tragic, and but I think we should call these things what they are, which is terrorism.
Yeah.
We shouldn't try to figure out.
What do you think it's going to take for us to really have a, you know, a common ground on reasonable gun control? What is it going to take?
I mean, I don't know what it would take, because, I mean, you have people don't want their rights attacked. So, and I can sit there and I can agree with that. But for me, it should be regulated much more, I think.
Right.
You know, everyone should have the chance to own a gun. But then you have things like, all right, say if you got a record when you were younger, these are things that could stop you from owning a gun. But does one get to look at your case and say, well, your record was when you were 16, should you be able to own a gun now? You know?
Yeah.
So there's so many other things that could go into it. But I think definitely, though, if you have a mental illness, you shouldn't be able to have a gun. If you have, they say a lot of Americans have dealings with depression. And, you know, it's necessarily something of a stand of a complete mental illness, but it is something that you deal with mentally. Should you be able to own a gun if, you know, you're a person with depression?
Right.
I think that's a scary thing there. Then how do you base that mental illness gauge right there when you say someone can't have a weapon? I mean, happened in Connecticut with the school shooting, the mother didn't have the mental illness, her son did. So should she be able to own guns because she has someone with a mental illness in her home? So how do you regulate that right there?
Yeah.
You know, because that's how that was all about. And, you know, in my opinion, I think no. Or at least to a certain extent, you shouldn't have an arsenal. Why do you have so many weapons? You know,
right.
I think it should maybe be a max. Like, why are you buying 10 fucking rifles right now?
Especially when it comes to, you know, assault rifles, like, there's no other use for assault rifles other than killing mass people in a short amount of time. You know, there's no other use for them.
There's not. There really isn't. And while all should have a right to protect themselves and all that, I think it should be watched more carefully. I think they probably regulate welfare more than they do gun control, which is kind of ridiculous.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
Let you work a job and be on welfare, they're going to catch on to you quicker than if you sat there and had 100 guns in your house.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, because one killed and one helps. So it's like, what are we doing here? What's going on? But I think it's a slippery slope.
Yeah. It definitely is.
Because I don't think
every... You know, you definitely bring up some valid points when it comes to mental illness and depression. And, you know, it's one of those things as well as, you know, there are so many things in this country where it gets out of hand and people are so quick to pass laws.
I wanted to big you up on bringing up the Black Wall Street.
Yeah.
You know, that was a big thing because they did make the thing about saying in U.S. modern history is the biggest massacre. Black Wall Street was a course user, but, you know, I think that also, it was defined as the most violent riot.
Yeah.
So I think that more connects to what happened when the issue with Rodney King happened and how they try to how they even try to describe our protests and how we riot sometimes. When, although some might have been detrimental, that's when you bring up Black Wall Street. When you had the murder of those 300 people, where it was literally white people out tearing down the whole Wall Street and killing black people, which is something a lot of people don't know about.
Right.
Because it also hits towards slavery when, you know, you sit there and you think you were oppressed this whole time, and then you find out in 1921, you know, all these black people were on Wall Street getting money, with no one stopping them, you know?
Boom.
So it kind of opens your eyes. Like, how much, were we really that oppressed? Or is that just the history I'm getting, you know?
It's crazy.
Yeah, because me, myself, when I found out about it, you know, I was like, wow, 1921, you know?
Yeah.
1921. You know, I think obviously how the riot started is a hint towards a bit of the oppression, but the whole fact that they were there getting this money, making the community, also hints towards the fact that, you know, we were not no timid people. We were out here getting it, regardless of the situation.
Yeah. So, but I think it also shows if we really put our resources together, because I think that's the difference, too, between back then, too, is, you know, with Black Wall Street, it was our resources, our money. It was an inside
job. We're making lots and lots of money, like lots and lots of money, like lots and lots, like lots and lots. But you got to think, though, in the time, on one hand of things, you have Black people thinking they couldn't own property and cars. You had this one whole strip with all these Black people with businesses and luxury cars lined up on the whole strip. So, like, how does that happen when you got one half thinking they can't even own property and are afford cars, and then you have another half doing it?
Yeah.
So I think what I like to tell people is, like, no matter how much America lies to you, everything's on paper, you know?
Yeah.
And if you do things away, there's really no stopping you. I think the hint of the depression went to the fact that the white lady lied on the guy from there, and that whole riot happened, and no one did nothing to stop it or help prevent it. Shows the prevention. They had everything that was done amongst Black people wasn't a legal thing done. Let's get that fact straight. Like, nothing was legal that they were doing. Regardless of what history tells you of, you know, Black people were treated like this and that, but by law, they were clearly doing things illegally, you know, because that's not how they were supposed to be doing it. Just like you would get arrested now for doing that, they should have been. The only difference was there were so many whites in the forces and in charge, and they were allowing things to happen, so it was illegal. It wasn't necessarily a law. It was okay. It was just they were letting it slide.
Man, I definitely appreciate you coming through and chiming in. And are you a spoken word artist?
Oh yeah. I do spoken word, you know. And I called in. I seen the show on.
Okay, cool deal. What's your name and where you from? I didn't ask you that.
My name is Rome.
Okay.
I live in CT, but I'm from New York.
Oh, that's what's up. And what's your stage name?
Rome.
Oh, Rome. Okay. And spell that for me. Is it R-O-M-E?
R-O-A-M.
R-O-A-M. Okay. Cool deal, man. Definitely appreciate you coming through. And do you have any social media that you would like to let the listeners know about?
No, I don't.
Gotcha.
I do have a piece I would like to share. I don't know if it'll be okay if we're still doing it or not.
Do so.
I have a piece here. It has nothing to do with the topic. It was, you know.
That's okay.
All right. It's called Cold. So I'm ready when you are.
All right. Hey, I'm ready for you to make the mic nice whenever you're ready.
All right. Buried the fool to change the scenery. Needs in me, vices buried deep in me. Fighting facades are incomplete, it seems. So indecisive from rights, not so black and white. From all that went wrong, yet so previously. Peril, yet so it seems to be. Petals fall dying, I'm withered from winter's feasting. I grew so peace can meet. It's whether or not we keep repeats. These terrors, the plots, come with the scenes. We never cannot not keep a head up to watch. To see defeat, we seem to relish. Sweet, that feeds a fetish just to see what fire hell is. If not for us and suffer, disconnected, fears we find comforts, fears that we never cope in years forever. Never spoke to peers, never known, it's ever. What's been hidden, clever alone, the shepherd would have heard that thought they led the effort home. But what's the lesson if it's better not for better when it's better never known? I cry alone, I drown in letters written, foolish pride, convictions never toned, a misfit. Headed fast without the limits to a headed stone that's scripted. Birth to moment when it's dead and gone. Dead alone like living, yet we never was precious. Down the stairs we headed, not alone. Depressions hold resentment, regretful woes. A test our fold, unanswered questions. Fails close, the chapters never read. We told for fashions, passions never goes. We lashed in quick attractions. Never last, anxieties and flashes kept the mind so present absent. Part of never ending actions, caught up in reflections. Glasses shattered, picking parts up, plastered, gathered. Relish moments that I fled from, past that kept up last. And every first I found my betters, felt the worst. Recycled mess ups, swings was never everlasting. Let ups, downs I birthed, I felt forever crash. Her grips are just like last, the hopes we everlasting. Grass she holds, the past she knows an ever tragic. Homes we hope to build, the epic castles. Just imagine hopes is more than prints, it's not just holes we dig for never planting. Plans we never meant for having growth, we balance cope to manage ropes. So tight I might not ever grasp the cross, I hope I could, to show what's meant is what we have and haven't. Chances given many fractured, heal, given plenty time to build. Stronger figure males, we hunger passion, structure what was lived, never could come. To know we couldn't handle wheels, we stared and stared in days and never crashed it. Driven further, purpose, that's what's real, it's granted, tests we given still, we manage. Rose to heaven's gate, the pastures sought, some thought would never wait, it's meant, these treasures buried under endless mud. And pettiness from plenty flustered fuck-ups, clustered meant to look of nothing, meant for pressures just to break, deserve a come-up, not divorce, or force to function. What's together if not to build a flex with waves? We levy different levels we meant to help elevate. The difference to find levels we can demonstrate. Compromise from what we come promise can never break. A bond in silence, paper never made. A short acknowledgement that what was here already steady out of stake. We leveraged fate. What took the effort was meant to make. I'm blessed, I meant it from the day I said it. If whatever way it still remains, so it can be that mention. To my deathbed given any day. You gave me reason, better me, you seen a blessing. And a better me inside the wreckage, you seen everything. That you accepted gave you everything these thoughts reflected. Came so effortlessly, just how we let it when we let it be. From it, the strength in you gain lessons like you fed them to me. It's blessings.
Wow. Wow. Man, that was awesome, man.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Much love, definitely.
Do you have any of your pieces recorded or anything like that?
Nah, man. I'm trying to work it out, you know. I don't know people, and I don't know. I'm not a producer. I'm just a writer.
Yeah.
You know what
well,
I'm saying?
Well, I'm gonna tell you like somebody once told me. Have you seen the movie Coach Carter?
Yeah.
Do you have a smartphone?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I had the opportunity one time to pick the guy, Coach Carter, the real Coach Carter's brain. And when I first started, I was so adamant about getting it recorded, but doing it right. I wanted it to be right. I'm a perfectionist. But he told me, he said, just do it. Just get it out there. And once you get it out there, you'll have time to go back and critique it and that sort of stuff. And, man, I'm going to tell you the same thing, too, man. Just get it out there because people need to hear what you have to say, man. You are definitely talented. And, man, please don't let this be your last time coming through and making the mic nice.
Oh, no, definitely. I'll definitely try to catch you, man. I definitely try to catch you before many times, and sometimes I just miss it.
Gotcha.
And so I'm glad I caught it this time, bro.
Gotcha, most definitely. And definitely when you get it recorded, definitely let me know. I would definitely love to have our listeners to listen to it here on the air.
Cool, no doubt. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
No doubt, man. And again, appreciate you.
Yeah. Well,
that right. I'm sorry, what was that?
No, I said, no, I'm here. You know, I'll listen into the show if you keep me on the couch.
Yeah. cool deal. Appreciate it, man.
All right.
There right there was Rome from New York, man. Appreciate your discussion as well as that piece right there. Definitely spitting some heat right there. And, wow, time has actually went by pretty, pretty fast, man. We are at the end of the show already. Wow. Great show. Appreciate all those who came through and chimed in on Facebook Live, those who came through just to listen to the show, Periscope, all those. Appreciate y'all coming through. Make sure y'all connect with me on all my social media, Lyrical Forte. That's one word, Lyrical Forte. And, man, make sure you catch us again next Tuesday, every Tuesday at 6:30 in Central Time. So much stuff going on, man, that we have to be aware of, and so many things that are happening in my area as well. I know there's a big mayoral race that's going on tonight. Polls have closed, so Birmingham, Alabama will have a new mayor tomorrow. Stay tuned to see what's going on. Stay connected to what's going on out there with Las Vegas and see what comes about with gun control, all that stuff. So make sure y'all just continue to stay connected. Make sure that if you are listening right now and you are a recorded artist and you would like your pieces played in rotation, then make sure you send them to lyricalforte@live.com. Again, that's lyricalforte@live.com. And if you would also like to make the mic nice as far as being a co-host or a interview artist, make sure you send your inquiry to lyricalforte@live.com. And I want to leave you with this. With the new day comes new strength and new thoughts. The real man smiles in trouble, gathers strength from distress, and grows brave by reflection. Unity and strength, when there is teamwork and collaboration, wonderful things can be achieved. Thank y'all so much for coming through again. And hey, we'll see you on the radio.
When I rewind, replay all the things that made me who I am today. The good and the bad, the good and the bad. When I rewind, when I rewind, when I rewind, when I rewind.
I grew up in that juice. 315, shorty, that's my roots. Northside, ride around with my crew. Northside, ride around with my crew. Before I had the red Lancer with the beat in it. Had a Mosh bike and hit the streets with it. Ride anywhere, I go deep with it. Head pegs for shorty, 1 week visit. That's a backseat. Man, I feel like last week. My first rhyme at a rap beat. It was Wu-Tang, victory. Rapping been my passion since my best friend got that cool. Edit laid vocals on that computer mic. With an E-machine, became a fool. When it took 200 from Christmas. Made myself a wish list, build a studio, that's my mission. I ain't quitting till it's finished. Studio time, too much to buy. So instead, I DIY'd it. All them clothes came out my closet, cause my mic had to go inside it, yeah. If there's a way, then you know I'll find it. Passion drove me to go all night, and I lost sleep, but I know I'll find it. When I'm six deep and it go all silent, I don't know where I'm going, but I'm driven. I got fuel for the journey, let me start at the beginning.
When
boy.
I